Good evening, and I'd like to welcome you to our midweek Bible study here at Vine Grove Baptist Church. I hope that you've joined to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Tonight, the message that God has laid on my heart to bring to you is to encourage one another. To encourage one another. As Christians, we should be supremely adapted to be encouragers. We have the Spirit of God living in every Christian. And having that Spirit of God, what does that Spirit say but to be giving, to be loving, to seek the will of God and to do it? And that would always mean for us to be engaged in encouragement in everything that we do and with people that we meet. There is nothing greater when you're looking for a place to worship, a place to come to have God's word proclaimed, that we should always be in encouragement to those who are seeking the truth of God. And in our lives, in the way that we live, in the way that we act, and the things that we do, that should just be an outward encouragement to people to get to know the Lord, because they would want to know, what is it about you that makes you different? Other than just, you seem to be such a nice person. And that's the intro for a Christian. Now, I know that Brother Larry talks about God makes grouches as well as people who are nice people, if you want to call them that. But even grouches, if you have that type of a personality, even grouches should be encouragers in Christ. That doesn't give us a license to just simply be curmudgeonly in our ways. It should always, everything that we should do should breathe Christ to the world. Everything that we should do. I've selected three texts tonight that's on your paper. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 19. And then Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, that to me speaks to how we can be encouragers and why we should be encouragers in life. What I'd like to do tonight, I'd like to first hear the word of God as we have it on our paper. And then I want us to talk about with each other how we encourage and how that we would like to be encouraged. So often we find that in life, it's just those little times of encouragement that lift us when we're down, and we need that. Have you ever noticed that you could have a day that everything is not going quite well, but you just have just that one word of encouragement, whatever that word may be, and it just changes the whole outlook of the day? You ever noticed how that works? That's not by accident. God has put it in the heart of man that we are to be people that truly love one another. That's why Jesus would say to his disciples and by proxy to us, love one another as I have loved you. To be lovers of the brothers and sisters in Christ is to show Jesus to one another and to be an encouragement to one another. First, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. We should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and to do helpful things. Some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship, but we must not do that. We should keep on encouraging each other, especially since you know that the day of the Lord is coming and is getting closer. The day of the Lord is coming, is getting closer. Think about what more likely Paul, we don't know who wrote Hebrews, but very good possibility that Paul wrote this epistle. Paul is saying we should keep on encouraging each other to be thoughtful and to do helpful things. In this particular section in Hebrews, Paul is describing the day of the Lord as it is coming. He says Jesus has provided the sacrifice of the atonement for sin. He has overcome death. He has sat down at the right hand of the Father in power and authority. And he has opened up the throne of grace to any and all who would come and seek God's favor. And then that's when he says what we just read here, that we should encourage one another. And then he finishes that little statement with, as we see the day of the Lord coming. You know, the day of the Lord is when Jesus will return and start that process of making all things new. He will renew the earth. He will renew everything on the earth. And then the final, if you want to call it the final day of the Lord that's talked about in the Bible, is when God will do away with the earth as we know it, do away with the heavens as we know it, and create a new heaven and a new earth. And everything will be put as God has always intended it to be, totally in place by that point. When we talk about, I'm going to heaven, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, we are, tonight, we're happy about talking about that. Those are days that we look forward to. And what was it you said, Larry? Everyone wants to go to heaven, they just don't want to go right now? Okay. So it's this, we want to put that off for a while, but yet we look fondly on the time that we're there. That once we get there, we know it's going to be wonderful. We know that it's going to be great. We know that we're going to be with the Lord. And everything else really kind of falls away with, we're going to be with Jesus. We're going to be with the Father. But until that day, we need to be encouraging each other on in the work that God has given each of us to do. Now, you've heard me talk about being called and the work that we're being called to, and only you know what it is. And that work tends to change through time, and it may change from time to time. However, when you hear God calling in your heart and say, Randy, I want you to go and I want you to say or to do this. I want you to be a helper. I want you to be an encourager. I want you to do something very specific. Randy has that choice to make. Do I listen to the voice of God and be obedient and do what God calls me to do? Which always, in my experience, never turns out like I think it's going to turn out when I first start thinking about the consequences of following God's direction. And I'll just say it this way. I'm always blessed. I'm always blessed when I have never felt like when I've obeyed God's command to me that I got somehow the raw end of the deal. I've never felt that. I've always felt at the end of that, even though I've had apprehension of starting that, whatever that may be, I've always felt that God has blessed me in ways that I never would have been blessed. The encouragement, though, comes from letting people know. And you don't have to say, you know, God sent me to you. It's going to be obvious to that person. Just do what God calls you to do. You don't have to make a big announcement. I'm here because God has called me to come and visit you. You're such a lucky person tonight. That's not what it's all about. What we need to do is just simply go and do whatever it is that God tells us to do and then just let it go. We've done what God has called us to do. And let God then do the rest, do the blessing. Because in God choosing us, he chooses us individually. Did you realize that? It's not like a collective Vine Grove Baptist Church go and do. It's a very specific, Norman McCoy, I want you to go and say and do. Well, Lord, can't you get Larry to go and say and do? He would be better at it, and I'm not really sure I'm qualified to go and say and do what you're calling me to go and say and do. Do you understand that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Whenever God says to you, it's very specific and personal. Now, God, if you say, sorry, Lord, that's out of my comfort zone, I'm not doing that, God moves on and finds somebody else. The work will still get done. But you miss out on the blessing of being that person that God sends. The thing here, and it's not just here at this church, it's at every church in the world. Every church in the world experiences times where what's going on, Lord? I don't see the people accepting your son like I think they should. I don't see the numbers that I remember maybe when I was younger. I don't see people jumping up and helping in the church. I don't see people engaged in your work in the church. And we become discouraged rather than encouraged by that very thing. We look out at our congregation and we say, it's small today. And then when it grows a little bit, we were encouraged. It's bigger. But the thing is that God allows man to make up their own mind. He does not force himself upon anybody, even Christians, the people that he indwells bodily. He does not force himself upon us. And so to be an encourager means to be an obeyer. I want you to think of that. To be an encourager means to be a person that obeys God. That's the first and foremost thing that is called for. You notice that Paul says here, or the writer of Hebrews says here, some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship. Well, we've seen that for years. People have gotten out of the habit. I used to go to church. Used to go to Vine Grove Baptist Church. I don't go to any church anymore. You know? Why is that? Well, somebody made me mad. I didn't like the preacher. I didn't like this. I didn't care for that. And that's a fact. We all know it. We've heard it. We've seen it. But the thing is that what God is saying is when you come together for worship collectively as a group, there is a dynamic that's going on that is totally different than when you're in your closet of prayer, just praying by yourself. There is a camaraderie. There is a common interest. There is shared experiences. Tonight, when you all came in before we got started, everybody was talking about their shared experiences. And it's wonderful to hear, and it's wonderful to share. And we were laughing and smiling and having a good time doing that. When we come to worship the Lord, when we come and gather anytime in church, we're here to worship, but we're also here to encourage one another. Because all of us need encouragement. We may not realize that at the time that someone else needs an encouragement because maybe I have a smile on my face, but my heart is broken. But unless I tell you that, you would never know it. We need to be honest with each other. Now, I'll say this. You've heard Brother Larry say, and I'm sure he's listening. You've heard Brother Larry say, I don't know about, you know, telling everything, and I agree with that. You got to use a little bit of common sense about what you say. But the thing is that if there's truly a need, we should be, are we not family? I think we are. We may not be blood kin, but we're more than blood kin. We're all saved by the same blood of Christ. And that's what's all going to get us into heaven. And if Jesus would call us brothers and sisters, are we not truly brothers and sisters to one another? So as we attempt to encourage each other, it all stems from love for one another. Paul in Romans has a very, he writes in Romans chapter 12 that we should be people of God. That we should, that our acceptable sacrifice to God is obedience and service to Him to be holy. That's how Romans chapter 12 begins. Then, through chapter 12 and chapter 13, he begins to specifically say, these are things that you can focus on that would help you to be an encourager to other people. And, in chapter 13, the bulk of chapter 13 is how to be a good citizen in the Roman Empire. And by, again, for us here in the United States or anywhere in the world, is how to be a good citizen even when you disagree with the way things are going. That doesn't give us a right to rebel. I left that part out because I'm talking tonight about personal responsibility and personal encouragement. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 19, and then we'll finish with Romans chapter 13, 11 through 14. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or as a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So, since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something that we aren't. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. If you work with the disadvantaged, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil and hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy and share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off oblivious to God. The night is about over and dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed, get dressed, don't loiter and linger waiting for until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. Now, I know that's a lot of list of things. But, you know, you could tell when Paul's talking about this, he's just talking in common sense, Christian love. He's saying, if you're called to preach, just preach the word. Don't be preaching something else. Don't mix God's word with man's word. Just preach God's word. If you're called to teach, teach. If you're called to be a helper, help. Don't be a boss. We all can relate to those situations in our life. And we say, well, that person has good intentions. And that's always a code word for they're overbearing. Okay? That, you know, or being Southern, God bless them. That's another code word. God bless them. Yeah, they just can't help themselves. God bless them. Oh, yeah. We in the South, we know how that goes. And we know the code meaning for those words. What Paul is saying here, though, is really simple. He's saying, you know, everything that we do, we should be lovers. We should be lovers of people. Now, that's hard to do. Let's just be honest. There are certain people that get on our nerves. There are certain people that are a burr under our saddles. There are certain people that we just don't get along with. And yet, Jesus would say, even those people you be courteous to, those people you be kind to, those people, if they have need, you help. Those people, even though I don't like them, Lord, those people may become your friends if they're your enemies now, if you show kindness and help to them. That gives them a reason to rethink why they're your enemy. Why would I be an enemy of someone that is kind and helpful to me when they have no reason to be kind and helpful because I have not been that way to them? See, as Christians, we know that this is the way that God has made us. It's not something that God is putting on us that says, you know, this is really hard for you as a Christian, but because I've put my Holy Spirit in you, I'm going to make you do that. That's not how God is doing this. This is how we've been created from the very beginning, but we've gotten so far away from our true nature that we have to almost like relearn the nature through the guiding of the Holy Spirit in our lives and hearing the Word of God and being an encouragement to us. So I guess the whole thing for me tonight in encourage one another is I know practically everybody in this room fairly well, and I can honestly say that I know that all of you are encouragers. Every one of you have encouraged one another at some point in time, and most of you encourage all the time. So whenever I say to be encourage one another, we can all shake our heads and say, yes, that's exactly what we need to do. And we know where our failings and our weaknesses are. And we know that we need God's strength and guidance in those areas of our life to kind of help us over the edge, help us over our weaknesses and our preconceived notions of the way things should be. We get so hung up on, this is the way I was raised, this is the way I think it should be, that we lose track of loving people just for who they are. And when we can't do that, how can we encourage? At least, how can we encourage and it be real? You know, you heard Paul say, don't fake it. Just be real with people. In being real, you know, you would think, okay, well, that may imply that I'm just going to be blunt, and that's not what being real is about. Being real is opening your heart to someone, and allowing your personality, allowing your love, allowing your very specific godliness that God has created you with to come forward. That's why when Paul says that we're all different members of the same body, we're all the body of Christ, we're the church. And when you talk about the church, he's not talking about Vine Grove Baptist Church, he's talking about every Christian all over the world. That is the church, and that is the body of Christ. All of us together working for the same master, his name is Jesus, and to do the things that he calls us to do. And that calling does not change no matter where we're at on the planet, no matter what our culture is, no matter what our skin color is, no matter what we are in terms of nationality, in terms of anything. We are of Christ, first and foremost. That's who we are. We are Christians. We are of Christ. That's what separates us from everyone else. And yet, in that separation, we want to invite everyone else to be of Christ as well. And it is by us being an encouragement to each other, by us being encouraging to people that are in need, that maybe we don't know. But yet, be willing to step out when God says, I want you to go, and I want you to speak, and I want you to do. That is us walking, talking, and acting like Jesus. And that's what the world needs to see more of. Not a bunch of people that have an agenda that is a man agenda. The world needs to see more people with the agenda of God to love. Whoever they are, just as they are. Not to turn away for whatever the reason is. I was reading in Luke earlier today, and one of the stories of Jesus was that Jesus went to Matthew, and in the book of Luke, he's referred to as Levi, as his Jewish name, and Matthew was at his changing table, you know, where he would collect taxes. And tax collectors, they worked for the Romans. And they were considered by all Jews a scum of society. They were outcasts. because they worked for the Romans and they were taking money from Jews that maybe didn't have the money, and the Romans would take the money anyway, take family members, children in payment if you didn't have the money for the taxes. Take animals that maybe you use for farming. Take your home. Take whatever if you owed taxes. And so here a fellow Jew is working for the Romans doing this very thing, and you can see where the animosity and hatred would come from. And here Jesus walks up and he talks to Matthew and he says, come and follow me. Now I want you to think about that for a second, because we just think Matthew wrote the book of Matthew, first gospel in the New Testament. And we're like, he must be a really good guy. And maybe he was a really good guy. But in terms of who he was before he knew Jesus, he was scum. That's how he was considered. We gloss over these things. But Jesus comes up to him anyway, and he says, Matthew, Levi, come and follow me. He was so happy, Matthew was, that he said, Lord, I want to give a feast in your honor. And who did he invite? He invited other tax collectors. And the Bible says sinners, all right, of all kinds. Because that's the people that was his friends. That's the people he hung out with. And so Jesus goes to this feast that Matthew gives for him. And he's surrounded by people that we would say, they're not very godly. You know, they're people that know better, maybe. They were raised better than that, and yet here they are. They're all sinners. They're all people that have done bad things and are doing bad things. But our Lord, he went anyway. He didn't say, now, Matthew, you need to have your friends kind of clean themselves up, and I don't want to hear any coarse talk, and I don't want to hear this, and I don't want to see that. He didn't say any of that. Bible doesn't record any of that. It said that Jesus went and that he was seated at the place of honor in Matthew's home, and that Matthew had this great feast and people were really enjoying themselves. Now you can imagine when you have the Lord Jesus at any feast, at any party, he's going to make it even better. He's going to make it better. He's going to have grace and he's going to have mercy and he's going to make people feel welcome. He's not going to exclude them. I wonder how many of those sinners and publicans that Luke talks about, how many people decided to follow Jesus simply because Jesus decided that he would come and sit and dine with them and not exclude them. Because Jesus was famous at this point. He was healing people. He was a person that... people would come from miles and miles around and bring this. The story right before this was the story of the men that brought their lame friend on the stretcher and then cut the hole in the top of the roof and let him down. That's a story that's right before this calling of Matthew. My point of saying this is this. If our Lord didn't shun sinners, and he didn't call them out, but he invited them into a deeper relationship with God. If he would take a sinner like Matthew and say, come follow me, and Matthew had no idea at that time, but he became one of the 12 disciples, that he would pen that book that we call Matthew in the Bible. And you know, he penned that to Jews. That's who he wrote it to other Jews. That's how it's written. If Jesus would do that, should we not do that as well? Should we not exclude people because there's this or that or the other? We should include them and say, God loves you just like he loves me. We'll let God do the cleaning up. That's not my job. Not any of our job. God is good at cleaning up and making whole. But we have to be the body of Christ to be that savory aroma that people, man, I just want to be around these people. They didn't make me feel uncomfortable. They didn't make me feel unwelcome. They made me feel the exact opposite. Made me feel like family. Made me feel very welcome Every time that I'm around these Christians, that's who we all should be. That's who we all are called to be. That's the message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy in our life. And we thank you, Lord, that you call us to a life of encouragement, that call us to a life of love, that call us, Father, to a life of service. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that as we search ourselves tonight, that you would impress upon our hearts the things that you would have us to know and to change and to do in our life, Father, that we wouldn't just be frittering away our life just because we're waiting to go to heaven, but be actively engaged in your work while we're here on the earth. Help us, Father, to understand that, and help us, Father, to be about your business. These things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.